Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I just want everybody to know this. This will be our theme, an economic system that does not feed, clothe, and house its people must be and will be overturned and replaced with a system that meets the needs of the people. We are living in this time. Benton Harbor is now a police state. Nowhere in America was happening here in Benton Harbor, Michigan, can happen anywhere else, and the people tolerate it. The sheriff department is out, kicking in doors, harassing, intimidating people, trying to save this sleazy mayor that we have over a recall petition. Bodies are floating up everywhere. I'm expecting two or three bodies to come floating up any day now since the snow has melted. We are living in a time here in the city of Benton Harbor that nobody in their right mind would accept nor believe. We're here, and it's not a pretty situation. Poverty, unemployment, you name it, is here. 70% of the people that lives in Benton Harbor, Michigan, is unemployed. 90% live below the poverty level. Yet and still, we have a sheriff's department that hates the black people that live here in this city. We must learn to fight back. We must show them that we are capable of taking this thing to a whole different level. We can do it if we stand together. Believe me, what happens here happens all over the country. So we must continue to fight this battle. We must show the world what we are capable of doing. And if we don't do it, I'm telling you, it's coming to your community next. We have not one tank, two tanks. That's right. The sheriff's department here in Benton Harbor have two tanks for a community that has less than 10,000 people. They are all over the people here. You can feel the hatred. You can cut it with a knife. It's just that serious. People never know. You never know what someone can do. They'll spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars over a recall election, but won't spend a dime for a murder of a black man. We are in trouble here unless we take a stand. It's time to go in their community and start turning over a few cars. I think the revolution is now. I think it's time that we take a stand and move to a different level. I think if we don't do it now, it's going to be too late. It doesn't make a difference whether you're black, white, or whatever it is. If you do not take a stand, you will be behind them barbed wire fences we call concentration camps very, very soon. So listen. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King and see what he thinks.
Thank you.
conclude by saying today that we have a task, and let us go out with a divine dissatisfaction. Let us be dissatisfied until America will no longer have a high blood pressure of creeds and an anemia of deeds. Let us be dissatisfied until the tragic walls that separate the outer city of wealth and comfort from the inner city of poverty and despair shall be crushed by the battering rams of the forces of justice. Let us be dissatisfied until we live on the outskirts of hope, brought into the metropolis of daily security. Let us be dissatisfied until slums are cast into the junk heaps of history, and every family will live in a decent sanitary home. Let us be dissatisfied until the dark yesterdays of segregated schools will be transformed into bright tomorrows of quality integrated education. Let us be dissatisfied until integration is not seen as a problem, but as an opportunity to participate in the beauty of diversity. Let us be dissatisfied until men and women, however black they may be, will be judged on the basis of the content of that character, not on the basis of the color of that skin. Let us be dissatisfied. Let us be dissatisfied until every state capital be housed by a governor who will do justly, who will love mercy, and who will walk humbly with his God. Let us be dissatisfied until from every city hall justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Let us be dissatisfied till that day when the lion and the lamb shall lie down. Every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. Let us be dissatisfied. Men will recognize that out of one blood God made all men to dwell upon the face of the earth. Let us be dissatisfied until that day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power, human power.
Bright star is cast. Let this affirmation be our
give us the courage to face the uncertainties of the future. It will give our tired feet new strength as we continue our forward stride toward the city of freedom. When our days become dreary, with low hovering clouds of despair, when our nights become darker than a thousand midnights, let us remember that there is a creative force in this universe working to pull down the gigantic mountains of evil, a power that is able to make a way out of no way, transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. Let us realize that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Let us realize that William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. Let us go out realizing that the Bible is right. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you this much. We are in a real war. This is World War III right here in the city of Benton Harbor. I'm expecting the troops to storm the beach here any day now. They're doing things that nobody would believe, especially in a very, very small community. They are attempting to control this community by any means necessary. I wouldn't be surprised if Governor Snyder called in the National Guards and the Army to surround the city and not let anybody in or out. It's bad here. We have a guy named Sheriff Bailey. He's about as dumb as you can get, but he's still the sheriff here. We have it all. Nobody will believe. We got a prosecutor here, Michael Sepik. He's about as sleazy as you get. But I'm telling you, we're fighting back. We're not going to take this mess laying down. We're going to show them our capability. And we plan to do things like never before. Let me see, can I bring in my first guest, Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer, are you there? Okay, Ralph, you're not there yet, but I know you're coming on, so I got you covered. We'll see where we at. My good friend Ralph, I know you're somewhere. So let's move on. Let's go bring in my good friend Edward. Edward, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. I couldn't hear you at first, but it seems like we're moving in the right direction. You got about 10 minutes, Edward, to say whatever your heart desires. Give us what you got for us.
I'm going to do the best I can. Let me start off with some quotes that I copied down so people can get an idea that the rhetoric that comes out of my mouth is not without factual background and support. Okay. Here goes one. The National Cancer Institute, with enthusiastic support from the American Cancer Society, has effectively blocked funding for research and clinical trials on promising non-toxic alternative cancer drugs for decades. Samuel Epstein, M.D. Samuel F. Epstein, M.D. Next, everyone should know that the, quote, war on cancer is largely a fraud, and that the National Cancer Society are derelict in their duties to the people who support them. Linus Pauling, Ph.D., Nobel Prize winner. You know who Linus Pauling was, Dr. Reverend Pinckney?
Yes, I do. I know exactly who he is.
And he was the man who discovered that vitamin C,
yes,
in large doses reverses, and I have an old black friend in his late 70s that came back to L.A. after being gone for 2 years and told me the way he reversed his pancreatic cancer was with vitamin C IV drips. Now, I already knew that that's what was doing it as well. So you're not talking about some just average individual is saying this. The next
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. You absolutely. Talk to me.
Next quote. They lie like scoundrels. That's the end of the quote. Dean Burke, Ph.D., regarding American Cancer Society. Burke was employed by the National Cancer Institute for 34 years. Now, this man has prominence, and he's telling you they are liars about everything. Next quote. We have a multi-billion-dollar industry that is killing people right and left just for financial gain. Glenn Warner, MD. Next one. Chemotherapy, in parentheses, let me run this down. Chemotherapy is a marvelous opportunity for rampant deceit. So much money is there to be made. George Lumberg, MD, editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association. You're talking about insiders telling you the truth. You're talking about the real truth here, that everything they tell you about the way to treat cancer is it's a shame, but it's a lie. Since I'm on the subject, I have another document here of which I'll probably only be able to read part of it for you. And it involves Dr. Ralph Morse on chemotherapy, Laetril, Coley's therapy, Brzezinski, which is a doctor in Texas, which is a phenomenal doctor, and cancer politics. This is a radio show, Laura Lee's radio show. She starts off by saying, the medical establishment keeps telling us that there are only three ways to treat cancer, chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. Many people disagree. Among them is Dr. Ralph Morse, author of a new book, Cancer Therapy. Dr. Morse, can we have a bit of background and why you became interested and decided to devote your practice and research to cancer? RM, which is Ralph Morse. 20 years ago, I was hired at Memorial Sloan Kettering, MSK, Cancer Center in New York, as a science writer, later promoted to assistant director for public affairs. Shortly after, I went to work there. I went to visit an elderly Japanese scientist, Kanima Matsu Songuria, who astonished me when he told me he was working on Laetril, B17. Vitamin B17 is Laetril. At the time, it was the most controversial thing in cancer, reputed to be a cure for cancer. We in public affairs were giving out statements that Laetril was worthless. It was quackery, and people should not abandon proven therapies. I was astonished that our most distinguished scientists would be bothering with something like this. And I said, why are you doing this if it does not work? He took down lab books and showed me that, in fact, Laetril is dramatically effective in stopping the spread of cancer. The animals were genetically programmed to get breast cancer. About 80 to 90% of them normally get spread of cancer from the breast to the lungs, which is common route in humans, also for how people die of breast cancer. And instead, when they gave the animals Laetril by injection, only 10 to 20% of them got lung metastases. And these facts were verified by many people, including the pathology department, Laura Lee, LL. So this is verified that Laetril can have a positive effect. We were finding this, and yet we in public affairs were told to issue statements to the exact opposite of what we were finding scientifically. And as years went by, I got more wrapped up in this thing. And 3 years later, I said all this in my own press conference and was fired the next day for failing to carry out the most basic job responsibility, i.e., example, to lie to the public what goes on in cancer research. How can these people, how can these people justify this in their own minds? RM. Basically, the attitude was best expressed by Lewis Thomas, the president of the center, who told my boss, as he would not see me, I am not going to die on the barricades for Laetril. It is not a cure. It is only a palliative, parentheses, meaning it relieves pain and stops the spread of cancer. If it were a cure, I might be. It might be a different story. But I'm not going to give up my career to die on the barricades. That's how they justified in their own minds. I could not do that. Nor could Dr. Singhiora, who never renounced the results of his own studies, despite the fact that they put enormous pressure on him to do so.
Wow, that's tremendous. Listen, you got about 2 minutes, so let's see what you can do with that.
Well, I have a lot more to read on this 10-page article.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 25 minutes next week to do it all. But right now, I can only give you another. You got another minute, 30 seconds. So go and say what you got to say, and I got to move on. I got to bring in Doug.
You got it. The corruption is so thick, so deep, that you would not even imagine that our medical industry could be this upside down. It is beyond anything you can imagine. What I've discovered over the years, helping people to reverse all types of dysfunctional health, is how to do it. How to reverse cancer, stage 4 cancer, in over 91 to 93% by the men that trained me that have been doing it for 4 decades. It's simple. It's easy. You can reverse every type of dysfunctional health. I can advise you to what to do and educate you, and then you can educate others. We need to train as many people as possible, educate as many people as possible. Give me a call at 818-613-9206. That's 818-613-9206. My mother drew her last breath from these murderers that were lying about all this stuff when I was 15 years old, and I cried myself to sleep at 11, 12, and 13 years old. I have a deep passion for teaching people and learning myself, first of all, how to reverse all types of dysfunctional health. If you trust your doctors in the medical industry, you are putting your trust in the wrong places. That is why everyone is so sick now and taking all these pharmaceuticals that are making them sicker and sicker. Learn. Wake up, smell the source, and listen to the rest of the show and enjoy it.
Right on. Thank you so much. Yeah, what a beautiful job. Hey, next week I got a bonus for you. I got 25 minutes for you, so get in early and you got it coming. All right, now let me move on. My good friend Doug. Doug, are you there? Hello?
I'm here. I'm so excited that you had this gentleman speaking. I had no idea what your program was for today, but I just give a little background. As you know, I've told you before, I want your listeners to know that because my father grew up with the only child and playing with his neighbors, which was a black family in Portland, Oregon. When I was born in 1936, I was the first of 6 children, and he trained us to never judge a person by their race, religion, or politics until you walk a mile in their moccasins. And so I had the privilege of joining the NAACP in Las Vegas. I arrived there in 1996, and then I also joined in Colorado right here. I'm in Colorado now, in year 1999 because I moved here, Columbine High School Massacre, and then I moved to California in 2004 and joined the NAACP there. So I really appreciate what you're doing. As you know, I've had you on my show several times. I have regarding Leotril, just before my son died with cancer, I was asked to become the chairman of the Leotril movement in Alaska, and we were the first legislature in the state in the United States to vote to legalize Leotril P17, and the result was that the governor had so much pressure, a Republican governor. I talked to him a couple of years later, asking why he vetoed it. I met with him in person with his wife at the Anchorage Airport, where I grew up from 1945 when I was 8. And he said that the reason he vetoed it is because he was threatened by the EMA and the FDA that if he were to sign that bill, the result would be that he would be sued and lose all his assets because so many people would come to Alaska seeking Leotril, and it doesn't work. We knew that was a lie, but anyway, he said, now my wife's got breast cancer, and I'm doing my homework, and it looks to me like I made a big mistake, Doug. And, well, the result was I left Alaska, and so I never followed up on that because I lost my son with cancer in the meantime. And so I want to help people understand the importance of what you're talking about here. And so I wrote down your friend's number there, and of course, he's in Los Angeles County, it sounds like, 818. And so with this background, there are, as I recall, over 50 legalized marijuana, Leotril, before it got shut down, the entire movement.
Let me get this straight. Are you saying that there was 15 states had this in operation, didn't they shut them all down?
I'm not sure what happened. What was happening was the AMA and the FDA were terrorizing legislators who were considering voting on it throughout the nation. And so because I lost my son with cancer, I just had to drop out of the movement. And so I never found out for sure what was happened, but I know over 15 states did legalize it, even though we didn't. And so the bottom line is that I've been following Dr. Brzezinski in Houston, which is fighting the AMA and FDA and the Department of Justice for decades. And they let him go ahead and help people who had brain cancer because there was nobody that could help people with brain cancer but him in America. And he finally beat him down. I just bought and received 10 videos of DVDs of his, both parts one and part two. So it's actually, I got 20 videos. And I'm going to be letting him go at my cost to help wake people up. But the main thing I want to mention is also in Houston, a good friend of mine, Dr. Edward Group, G-R-O-U-P, he started a cancer clinic there. In his young days, he's a naturopath and also a chiropractor. And in 4 years, he was getting a 50 to 80% cure rate, not remission, cure rate of people. So he was so excited because a mile and a half away from him, world-renowned, was only getting 1.5% using chemo, radiation, as we know, and surgery. And so the result was the FDA came in and said, we're going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Either you shut down your cancer clinic or send you to prison for decades. And so that tells you how evil our government has become. And then I really appreciated what you played at Martin Luther King there today because of the fact that I agree with you. What you said, I had no idea that your Benton Harbor there has such poverty. It's sickening. And the sheriff, like you said, has no problem killing black people all the time, and there's no justice for them. So I just want to mention that I'm sure you're aware of this fact, but maybe your listeners are not, that one-third of the females in America, one out of three, will have cancer in their lifetimes. That's a national statistic, and one out of two men. We have an epidemic here, and it's because people are taking the pharmaceutical drugs. They're taking, they're not using God's herbs to cure themselves. They're taking the doctors, and the doctors are trained when the doctors join, this is a national statistic. When the doctors join the medical school, 80% believe that diet is important to your health. When they come out, having been brainwashed by the Rockefeller pharmaceutical and petrochemical industry, only 20% believe that diet is health, affects your health. That's how evil the Rockefellers and that ilk have become, because they push in their they take God's herbs, they mix their petrochemical poison with it, and they patent it. And they can't make any money on God's herbs, obviously. So our government has become extremely evil. And so, anyway, the bottom line is that when my son was 12 years old, I was wrestling with him and two of his buddies. We're staying the night with us in an Olympic-sized pool at the Diamond High School in Anchorage. And after we played for about a half an hour, my son jumped out of the water. Ow, ow, ow. I just dunked him. And I said, son, I didn't do anything different than with you before. What's the problem? Well, he said, I got to quit. I got pain in my back. And so he had to sit up all night with his two buddies there at our place. And the result was that we found out that he has extremely rare, I'm sure, making this real short.
Yeah, because you got about 2 minutes.
Okay. An extremely rare form of cancer. I've only found two people in the last 3-4 years that are aware of the fact that there is a tumor called a leukemic tumor. Everybody says it's all in the blood. That's how rare his tumor was. It wrapped around his spinal column, paralyzed from the waist down, and we lost him 20 months later. He's 14. And so I promised his two brothers, his brother and sister, that when we heal, and it's going to take a long time to heal, I believe the Lord will use us someday to revolutionize health in America and worldwide because of the evils of the FDA and the EMA. And so I want to talk to Kenny about this. I've talked to him briefly, Kenny Rhodes. I wasn't able to reach him today. I tried to call him, because he introduced me to you and the TI Network. We lived in New York, and it's like 2010, if I recall. And we went to the President's Commission on Human Rights Violations and gave a lot of people there, TIs, get testimony, as you know. And so I wanted to introduce this to Kenny so he can introduce it to you, because I just learned in the last 6 weeks.
Wow, that's 2 minutes. Listen, you got about 30 seconds to say what you need to say, and I got to move on. And, hey, I really appreciate that information. That was some tremendous information, and maybe I can really let you go into details, too, next week, because people need to know these things. But you got only 30 seconds to go. Go right ahead.
No problem. I can handle in that period of time. So, folks, there are cures for all kinds of degenerative and so-called incurable diseases. The AMA and the FDA are lying to us, because the average cancer person spends $200,000 on cancer in their lifetime. Some people spend $1 million, and it doesn't have to be that way. So we'll talk more about it next week. God bless you all. Thanks.
All right. You take care of yourself and have a beautiful day. All right. We're here in beautiful Benton Harbor, Michigan, and they're storming the beach on us. We got the sheriff's department out kicking indoors over a signature. That's correct. But don't care anything about these young men that they have found in our lake. They're storming the beach. I would imagine within the next period of time, they're going to be, you're going to have the Army, the National Guards here in little bitty Benton Harbor. They already have the equipment. They have tanks. They got everything they need to come in here and subdue the people here in the city of Benton Harbor. And I believe that they're going to surround this city and not let anybody in or out. This is the first step. We need your help. We need you to get together because it's coming to your city next. What we're dealing with here in the city of Benton Harbor is worse than being criminal. This is crimes against humanity. But we need your help. But I tell you, this has been a war, and we've been fighting this war, and I have no intention of losing this war. And I just want to bring in my good friend, my guy from New York, the main man. You would not believe this guy and the work he does. He very instrumental in getting his wife released. Right now, we'll find out how she's doing also. But Ralph the man, he's the guy. He's my hero. Ralph Pointer. Ralph, are you there? Talk to me, Big Ralph.
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, and it is wonderful to be able to tune into a program and hear reality beyond anything that people can deny. And what your program does is helps people make sense of their world and improve their lives based on this reality. And this program you're having today is particularly close to me in that Lynn has cancer, and she has been diagnosed from 8 months to a year and to live, and we're fighting that. And it's important that we learn reality. But one of the things that we must recognize that these lies are a constant part of America. And in the words of Lynn Stewart, when she says, and then there are those Democratic and Republican conventions, and then an election is held, and the corporate media is ready to hype the results and drown out the righteous protest of the people. And here you are, righteous protester, righteous in your protest about the lie of democracy. You want to recall somebody, and they're going to bring out the army to stop you. But that's nothing new. They've lied about democracy, and recently in the press we hear how bad the president of the USSR is, of Russia, Putin. But we have forgotten that the United States had a declaration many, many years ago that people seem to have forgotten about it. And that is the declaration that no country, no power, should have anything to do in the Western Hemisphere. And anything that happened in this Western Hemisphere that this government didn't like, they invaded. Most recently, the people of Haiti elected Aristide. They put him out with Bayonet, the American Marine. And then that reminds us of how many times the American army has invaded a country that would dare have democracy. Have we forgotten the Dominican Republic twice, Panama, Chile, Honduras, Cuba, and the list goes on and on. The Monroe Doctrine said nobody shall do anything in this hemisphere that the Americans don't like. Yet they go over to the USSR, and they start doing something that the Russians don't like. And they say, oh, my God, they brought the army. And I'm saying, well, if we've forgotten the Monroe Doctrine, everybody who went to school learned the Monroe Doctrine, and everybody learned to praise it. American exceptionalism. America can do whatever they want to do. And in the words of Lynn Stewart, the law is whatever they say it is at any given time. It never works for us. And have we forgotten the history of lies of this government? Let us go to cigarettes. They said they had all of the professors around the country talking about cigarettes are not dangerous. And they funded cigarette companies to the tune of millions and tax breaks in order for them to make a product more dangerous to the people who were using it. And now, today, we find out that cigarettes are responsible for more than all of the other drugs combined. And yet they talk about a war on drugs. They should have a war on themselves.
Mm.
And so we understand that everything they say is a lie, and you have to tune in to Reverend Pinckney every Sunday to find out about the latest lie, to make sense of the world we're living in. Can you imagine the military coming and people kicking in doors because you want to have democracy? And as I always said, or has been said by many people, it would be a good idea if we had democracy. But once again, you have proven there is no democracy, and if you want to have it, they're going to come after you. And I hope that as time passes, we begin to understand and learn of the people who are on our side, and then fight for those people, fight for the programs that you have to separate the various NAACPs from the real deal, the various parties, political parties, and dare I say political persons who have blinded the eyes of our mind. And I'm talking about the people in Washington, D.C., Mr. Obama, who talked to campaign on single-payer health care, which would improve health care in America and make it cheaper. And when he got in office, he said it's off the table, and made many people like it because they said he be black.
Mm.
And this is what happens, as Larry Pinckney says so many times, don't go for that. Listen to what people really do, not what they say, and the color of their skin, their gender, their national origin, their religion, their sex, their age, all of these things are irrelevant. Let us pay attention to those who give us relevant information. And as one of the things that you said early on, well, they didn't make fiscal 68 or 130, or however fiscal emergency managers they made or trained, to do Benton Harbor. They only needed one for Benton Harbor. It's coming to you soon. Then they went to Detroit. And the rest of this, the kicking in of doors, is coming to us soon. And in the words of our dear Lynn Stewart, the young men that this government considers throwaway, and they enlist them in the army, and they send them to other countries to kill the people they consider throwaways there. And then when they come back home, they find that there is no health care for them. There is no concern for their well-being. They cheat on their benefits that were promised, and they recognize, many recognize, they are the throwaways at home. But you're not going to hear that on corporate major media. You have to tune in to Reverend Pinckney to understand. When you have a health problem, you're not going to hear about it on major corporate media. You have to tune in to Reverend Pinckney. And I am tuning in. I am thankful for the last two gentlemen who spoke on these issues. But we must look at all issues, keep our eye on the ball all the time, and we can do that, and we can act, because no one can talk about the problem of democracy without talking about the problem of recall, and they're going to kick down your door if you say you're for a recall. They're going to kick down your door, put you in jail. Notice what happens to our whistleblowers, the people who tell us what happened. They speak truth, and they're in jail. Witness Chelsea Manning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I will go right forward to Lynn Stewart, who told the truth about Egypt. The government, the American government, supported Hosni Mubarak 29 years, wrapped around every president. And nobody could run against him. How much interest were they in democracy? So the Egyptian people demand democracy. They vote somebody in that the American people don't like. Boom. The next thing you know, he's in jail. He's under attack. They're attacking you, Reverend Pinckney, not out of just Reverend Pinckney, because you are a truth teller. Continue telling the truth. You have my support. I look forward to seeing you. I look forward to coming out there to Benton Harbor and waking the people here, there, and everywhere. And Lynn Stewart says, thank you, thank you, thank you. And maybe you'll both be on the program one day in Benton Harbor and New York. And I hope you're coming to our Left Forum to
I
have
will
a discussion as you did before. We're putting your name on the panel to
absolutely
discuss. Hey,
Ralph, I tell you, this is really tremendous, and I will definitely be in New York. I will definitely be there to see you, Lynn, and the rest of the gang. And, I know we got a war here, but I'm thinking about going to Putin and the Russians and asking them to come here and help us because we can't get no help here.
I like that.
And maybe,
I like that,
maybe he'll bring the Chinese with him, so they can storm the beach. You know, like when the governor called in the troops, or the president called in the troops to come to surround the city of Benton Harbor. I'll call the Russians and the Chinese to come over here and surround them.
That sounds like a great idea to me.
Yeah, I always have a plan for them around. Hey, I want to thank you so much, and I tell you, it's you talking about hell? It's hell here, and it's a strong fight, and it's a real fight, and
yes.
You know, most people don't want to face reality, but reality is now. It's happening right now, whether we like it or not, and I'm not going down without a fight.
Right, right. Well, thanks again, Reverend. Look
all
forward
right
to seeing you, and getting
right
forward
to you
hearing soon. To hear your other guests talk
all
about
all right
the
you have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Let me
so
bring on my
much
good friend, my girl from beautiful Atlanta, and she got a lot to say. She didn't get a chance to say anything last week, but I know she got something to say today. Mary, are you there?
Well, hello there, Reverend Pinckney.
How you
hello
doing?
Hello there, Mr. Palmer, and the entire audience. How you doing, Reverend Pinckney?
I'm doing wonderful, wonderful, and wonderful. Again, we're just in a fight for our life here. They got us surrounded. They're using all their artillery to make sure that we don't win this fight. But I did see the movie, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. So I know what we need to do in order to defeat this fascist government police state that we're facing right now.
Now, what are they doing? You say they're kicking in doors? And
indoors, going to they went to over 250 people homes, asking them that they sign a recall petition against this sleazeball mayor that we have, who so happened to be black, but is the biggest butt kisser there is in this whole wide world. There's none bigger butt kisser than this guy. And he's being recalled. He's supported by Whirlpool. So they're behind this thing because they might even be financing this whole thing. You never know.
So they're doing quality control on the recall.
They're doing more than quality control. They're doing they might even be killing folks. We don't even know.
I see. Well, I'm sorry that's happening, but I'm not surprised. Nothing surprises me.
No, I am not shocked.
So you must have gotten enough signatures to recall the guy, right?
Well, we did recall him. That's the problem. So that's why they got the sheriff out here now, knocking on people's doors, kicking it in, got their hands on their guns when they come visit you, and they you know, all kind of stuff going on.
My goodness. And can we read about that at banco.org?
Yes, you can. Yes,
okay.
You can. Matter of fact, I sent you an email, maybe several emails on it, how they're doing it, what they're doing, and how they're doing it, and why they're doing it. That's why I'm going to ask Puna to come in and investigate them.
I see. Well, I will certainly look for your emails. I look at my emails every day. I haven't seen one from you on that subject, not one.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And also, we're trying to get people to call the Justice Department to come in and investigate the police department, the sheriff's department here. So far, people have been calling, but they've been sending them over to the, telling them that it's the FBI. No, it's your job. You're the Justice Department. You send out the FBI. When the FBI goes out, It goes out because you have asked them to go out. You have requested that they go out. And but most people don't know that, and that's why they're able to get away with that. But the point is, we can't settle for this. We got to call that Justice Department. We got to call them and let them know that, hey, we know what y'all are doing, and we're going to stop y'all if we can.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing is that expose and oppose oppression, that's our job. And it's not a job that Reverend Pinckney assigned us. It's a job that God the Father assigned us. And you can check on that in Proverbs 31:8-9, where the Bible says, stand up for all who are poor and oppressed and everyone who is appointed to destruction. And so you would be right, radio audience, to support Reverend Pinckney and support the people of Benton Harbor in their fight for freedom. Because this is a freedom fight, is it not, Reverend Pinckney?
That's right. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is, a freedom fight.
Well, you know, the United Nations is an organization that the United States goes to to sanctify their wars. But will the United States listen to the United Nations when the United Nations came down on the United States and cited 25 areas of need for improvement? That happened in March, and I'm looking at an article by Al Jarez, and it says that the wide-ranging United Nations report that was released in March 2014 strongly criticizes the U.S. for a host of human rights concerns, from jailing the homeless and sentencing juveniles to life sentences to drone warfare and spying by the NSA. They specifically mentioned this crack cocaine versus the powder cocaine sentencing that went down that was 100-1 disparity based on racism. And, of course, we know that the U.S. government admitted that that was racist, and they changed it to a new racist ratio of 18-1. So if you're caught with crack now, you get 18 years to every 1 year that you would be sentenced for powder cocaine. So it's still very racially skewed, but it's a lot more fair than the 100-1, and so they call that the Fair Sentencing Act. But it was not applied retroactively. We have thousands of people incarcerated who should have already been deemed to have served their sentence, because if a law is declared to be racist and cast out and a new law is put in place, then everyone who was affected by the racist law should go under the Fair Sentencing Act as well. That's what the United Nations says, and, of course, that's what we've been saying all the time. And so we know that what happens with your sentences is that when a person is sentenced to 5 years incarceration, say, and just say that the rate of incarceration is worth $70,000 a year in Michigan, let's say that low number, whereas I really think it's much higher, but we'll just pick a low number. Well, then, what they do is they sell your sentence on Wall Street. They sell it. They borrow against it. And so if a person comes up a week after they've been wrongfully convicted with evidence that they are innocent, or if they can say, oh, do you have that hat? May I test that hat for DNA to prove that I'm innocent? The answer is always no. No, we don't want to hear your proof of innocence. Why do they not want to hear proof of innocence? It is because your sentence has already gone through a bargaining process, and they have borrowed against your sentence. And so if they let you out before you serve that sentence, then they got to chuck up the money that they borrowed against your sentence. And so that is why it doesn't matter whether a person is guilty or innocent. What matters is that that they need your body. They need you to be there, because as long as they got you, then they got, you're their guarantee for that loan they made on your sentence. And so that's the issue. And I want everybody to please understand that. And then these sentences are just like home loans. They're grouped together, and then they're, I believe they're sold to foreign countries. And that's how we get money for our next war and what have you. Off the sentences of oftentimes innocent Americans. So understand that basically imprisoning people, or if you will, enslaving people, is the basis of America borrowing money, even money for wars. And then, of course, the inmates are forced to make your war products. They're forced to make the uniforms, the boots, the canteens, the tents, the backpacks, the pants, everything that soldiers use or wear other than the artillery is made by prisoners. So it's a machine, you know, the war machine feeds the prison machine, and the prison machine feeds the war machine. But it's all the same. And so I want everyone to know that. And when people are prisoner activists, they may have had a great deal of trouble with their computers. And I want you to know that I received a petition to sign, and it's asking Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to please stop being prison investors. So here you are trying to use Windows to be a prisoner activist, and you keep having to get your computers wiped clean. You keep having to get rid of Trojans and viruses and worms, and you're using Windows to operate your computer. That's your operating system. And Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are prison investors. Yes, they invest in the GEO group, the GEO group. And so that's why, possibly why, I have not been able to use the computer but maybe a month at the most before I have to buy a new one or get my computer wiped, cleaned, and reinstalled. These people who are in social media, the people who are in computers and computer software, they are also into prison investments. And so it's all a game. It's a game on the regular people. That's the working class people, whether you're black, whether you're Native American, whether you're, you know, Latino. Those are the three main groups of prisoners. But then we have a good many prisoners who are there are whites without wealth and Asians without wealth. They're also in the prison slave class. In fact, I feel that most people in the working class and who are considered indigent are considered to be in a slave pool, and they reach in and draw out a fresh catch when they please. And
Mary, you got about 2 minutes, so go right ahead.
All right. Well, thank you, Reverend Pinkney, so much for standing up and standing tall. And you can look online. I'm Mary Loves Justice, and I'm also Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. And the United Nations is very concerned about the homeless people, and we know that mentally ill people are overrepresented among homeless people who are being incarcerated simply for being homeless. It's called vagrancy. It's called trespassing because they have no place to be. So it's up to you and me to stand up as God said. Reverend Pinkney didn't say it. I didn't say it. God said. Stand up for those who are without a voice and be a voice for the poor and needy and everyone who's appointed to destruction. And we thank you, Reverend Pinkney, and we just praise God for you and your supporters, because you have many supporters, and not just in Benton Harbor. You have supporters all around the world who follow what's going on in Benton Harbor. And I tell you, what happens in Benton Harbor is planned for the rest of the country, so it's really a wake-up call time. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
And thank you so much. Well, listen, those folks out there, they're storming the beaches here, and we actually need your help. Normally, we don't really ask for a donation or anything like that, but we need funds right now to fight off this corrupt sheriff department, prosecutor office, and we need it now. So listen, those of you who are out there who would like to send a donation, I won't be mad at you if you don't, but I would like for you to send a donation to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Let me repeat that. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. I tell you, we are in a fight for our life. I'm thinking about going to the Russians and ask them to come in and help us, because we can't get no help here in the United States. None. Matter of fact, they're targeting the people. They're microwaving them. They're doing everything they can to destroy not only you, me, and everybody else, but they're doing it for a reason, to protect those who have. It's the haves against the have-not. So those of you who don't understand that kind of talk, we're here. We're fighting. And we got to fight all across the country, because I believe what's happening here in the city of Benton Harbor is coming to your community next. And so we have to get ready and do the things that need to be done. And I got to bring in my good guy, my man, the one and only, John Brown himself, doing the work, walking the walk, and talking the talk. Ken Rose, are you there?
Thank you, Reverend Pinkney, and thank you for the compliments. I don't deserve them, but thank you anyway.
Oh, you deserve every bit of it, Ken, because you're the man.
Okay, today I'm going to play, and if people want to hear this whole thing, they should go on to YouTube. It's Chris Hedges, "Our Only Hope Will Come Through Rebellion." I'm gonna put it up to speaker here.
All right, go right ahead, play it, and it's about 10 minutes long, everybody. So those of you there, make sure you listen to this. This is exciting.
Never reform failed bureaucracy. Never hold government officials accountable. Rather, give them more money, and above all, keep failure a secret. Relationships with foreign intelligence services have, at the same time, vastly expanded our system of global mass surveillance, creating an immense global system that obliterates the rights of people at home and abroad. Now, I'm aware that the president has recently promised new reforms. But I ask you, how many times does Barack Obama have to lie to you before you get it? Had his review group on intelligence and communications technologies set up ostensibly to make recommendations for reform? The very same intelligence chiefs that have carried out these abuses led and directed the group. But look at the request by the German chancellor that we stop spying on her and her citizens. The U.S. government rebuffed her request. It sent a message to her that we should all heed. And this message is that we'll continue to do whatever it wants. The corporate state has no intention of giving up the most effective and pervasive system of mass surveillance in human history. And all wanted reform will be empty and cosmetic. The NSA and other intelligence agencies have become our nation's voyeurs and peeping toms. They read our electronic bank and medical records. They know what our kids post on Facebook or Instagram. They have all of our emails and text messages. They track our movement through the GPS on our cell phones, and they are not alone. Corporations also track our online searches, what we buy, and then analyze and store that data to use it for commercial purposes. We cannot trust those who hold this power and profit from it to reform themselves. History has too many examples of such naive trust being breached. Only an independent judiciary can constrain those in power And that is why Congress and our courts have been emasculated. That is why our judiciary has rewritten laws from the NDAA to the FISA Amendment Act to strip us of legal protection. The very courts and legal system designed to protect us have been turned against us. The irony is that Barack Obama would not even be president if it were not for the courage of persecuted dissidents such as Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, spied upon by their own government. But Obama understands where power lies. It does not lie with a citizen. It lies with Wall Street and our corporate boardrooms, which have carried out a slow-motion coup d'etat. And the system of mass surveillance is designed to keep these elites in these boardrooms powerful and the rest of us powerless. As a presidential candidate in 2008, Obama promised to, quote, reject the use of national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. He promised to close our detention center in Guantanamo Bay. He said he would revisit the Patriot Act. He assured us he would overturn unconstitutional executive decisions issued by the Bush administration. He promised to shut down our black sites. He promised to end extraordinary rendition. He promised transparency and reform. We got none of this. What we got were more untruths, such as last summer, when the president told us that the NSA cannot target your emails, that's a quote, and that all our surveillance systems were subject to the full control of Congress. In fact, Obama, along with our Congress and our highest courts, have together eradicated the Fourth Amendment, which once protected us from government intrusion into our persons, homes, papers, and effects. Everything he and other government officials promised to do or told us about domestic internal surveillance has turned out, we now know, to be a lie. Totalitarian systems, and we live under a species of corporate totalitarianism, operate under a perverted logic. Secret police in these systems gather information not to solve crimes, as Hannah Arendt pointed out, but to be on hand when the government decides to arrest a certain category of the population. It needs all our emails, phone conversations, web searches, and geographical movements for evidence should it decide one day to seize us. And there are no exemptions for members of Congress, as Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Dianne Feinstein have just found out. If you think you are innocent or that you have nothing to hide, you do not understand what is happening. Justice, like truth, in these systems, is not relevant. Ask Chelsea Manning, Julian Assange, or Edward Snowden, along with whistleblowers like Thomas Drake, where justice and truth got them. And one of the main tasks of any security service is blackmail, a tactic the FBI used to get Martin Luther King to try and commit suicide. If you have any dirt, the state wants to know about it, and they will use it against you if you refuse to be obedient. Now, the effects of declining and stagnant incomes for working men and women, the massive debt peonage that keeps people, especially students, trapped, the slashing of government assistance programs, the chronic long-term unemployment and underemployment, the effects of climate change, will eventually trigger volatile unrest. The state is ready. Totalitarianism no longer comes in the form of communism or fascism. It comes now from corporations. And these corporations fear those who think and write, those who speak out and form relationships freely. Individual freedom impedes their power and their profits. Our democracy, as Snowden, I think, has revealed, has become a fiction. The state, through elaborate forms of political theater, seeks to maintain this fiction to keep us passive. And if we wake up, the state will not shy away from draconian measures. The goal is complete subjugation. The the iron rule of our corporations and our power elite, at least until the fossil fuel industry makes the whole planet uninhabitable. What will it take to resist? How will we dismantle the power of the corporate state as long as it has a pervasive security and surveillance apparatus? Our only hope will come through rebellion, through building mass movements that threaten established centers of power. This rebellion will...
Okay, Reverend Penny, I didn't play the... I didn't go as far as I like, but I went that far.
All right, good. That was tremendous, you know. And tell us a little bit what he was saying so we'll know. Can you take about 90 seconds and just tell us what he was saying?
Well, he's basically saying we're in deep crap here in this country that no, they're not going to abide by any laws. But if anybody wants to hear the full thing, it's like 30 minutes. It's Chris Hedges, H-E-D-G-E-S. Our only hope will come through rebellion. And I
agree with that 100%, because they are not going to give up their power. But, Ken, I'm sorry I can't go give you any more time, but I got to move on. I got to bring in Elvira. Elvira, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Elvira, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. All right.
All right, you got about 5 minutes, so go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm here because, you know, as I've been saying before, I went into a hospital. I'm a human rights activist. I was doing a lot of activist protesting and stuff here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And what it led to was me going into the hospital with asthma attacks because mold was one of the issues that I was protesting over, and toxic waste. And so when I ended up in the hospital with an asthma attack, that's when I come to find out she was the property manager of two buildings where I was trying to get into. That's a long story. I want to fast forward. In October, I have been going from different states seeking medical treatment because she injected me in my fallopian tube with what she said was a blood thinner. I left Florida because I couldn't get the medical treatment I needed here because they kept putting me in the mental hospital. That happened twice. So I left Florida, went to Georgia, California, New York, Pennsylvania, Boston, just seeking medical treatment and doing my activism for, you know, foster children and other issues. So, but every time I go to an emergency room, it's like they have something on my card, so my medical or my driver's license. Right away, and I'm bleeding, they throw me in a mental hospital. This happened to me also in October in Pennsylvania when I was there. Anyway, I decided, okay, this all started in Florida. I'm going back to Florida, and I want it to end here in the state of Florida. I go into the hospital, back into the hospital. There's only one hospital that I can go into because what they injected into me is like formaldehyde. It's like they were trying to embalm me alive. So, but only one doctor, and that was the environmentalist doctor, who now is in hiding because everywhere I go, I present his paperwork, which said chemical spray and MCS and all that. It supports my illness. But the doctors here, they're trying to change all that. I went into the hospital about 3 weeks ago for the bleeding again. Again, they had to give me 2 pints of blood like they did in Pennsylvania in October. Although they put me in a mental hospital, held me there for 7 days. Another question I want to ask, how many of you have gone into your doctor's office and they're now taking pictures of you? That has also started here in Fort Lauderdale. They take a picture of you. And so back to the basics. I was bleeding. They stopped the bleeding. They sent me home. Then what happened was one of those bad doctors, which was a mental health doctor. He claimed he came into my room. No mental health doctor ever come into the room when I was in the hospital trying to get this blood stopped. Anyway, it's all in my medical records. I have no one to speak for me, you know, speak out and help me with these issues. But you are, Reverend Pinkney. And so while I was in there, like I said, claimed that they diagnosed me with schizophrenia, when I'm in there trying to stop the bleeding. Now, I started bleeding again about a week after I come out of the hospital with internal bleeding. They say I have Crohn's disease. It's not Crohn's, it's the chemical spread. When I come with this chemical, not only does it burn my skin, mess up my eyes, take my hair out, I look horrible from the things that the chemical spray is doing to my body. And so they took me back in the hospital like on Wednesday. Thursday, they send this doctor in there to release me, and I've been bleeding ever since. I'm still bleeding now. I'm being denied medical treatment, and I'm calling out for help, to help Reverend Pinkney help me and help myself. And this is what I'm asking for.
Elvira, you want to give out your phone number in case somebody want to call you?
Yes, my number is 561-302-8872.
Again, those of you who live in Florida, those of you who live in Florida, give her a call. Get that number again.
561-302-8872.
Listen, she need help. Somebody out there help her. Give her the help she needs. She needs us. So listen, let's put our arms around her and take her from there. Listen, I got to move on, young lady. I got way too many callers today.
And I pray for what you're going through, Reverend Pinkney, and I pray that the people hear your voice, because that is very important, too. And
absolutely. Hey, I'm going to call in the Russians to help me. That's what I'm
right.
I want them to storm the beach over here. Yeah, so all right, my girl, listen, I will talk to you soon, and I'm going to bring in my good friend, Gloria. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinkney, I'm here. And what I'm reading today, I got it offline, is called SeeingBlack.com. A report by the American Cancer Society shows that African Americans are still more likely than any other group to develop and die of cancer. The study states that socioeconomic factors play the largest role in this disparity. African Americans have less access to health care and information and are less likely to get screening and medical treatment. A well-known book offers one answer into why Black Americans deeply mistrust American medicine. The book is called Medical Apartheid by Henrietta Washington. The dark history of medical experimentation on Black Americans from colonial times to the present is the first and only comprehensive history of medical experimentation, abuse, and neglect of African Americans. The book reveals the hidden underbelly of scientific research and the roots of the African American health deficit. It begins with the earliest encounters of Blacks and the medical establishment during slavery. Looks at how eugenics and social Darwinism was used to justify medical experiments conducted by the government and the military, and offers new details about the infamous Tuskegee experiments that began in the 1930s. Medical apartheid also examines less well-known abuses and looks at unethical practices and mistreatment of Blacks that are still taking place in the medical establishment today. Because of what I read and because of Elvira, we found it necessary, the African Americans that are being targeted, we found it necessary that we had to pull together. And so we started a group called APACT, APACT. That's African People Against Covert Technologies. And we're under the umbrella of the Million Woman Movement, which took place about 16 years ago in Philadelphia, and the founder is Empress Chi of Philadelphia. The first march was 16 years, and they called it the Million Woman March, but it was 2.5 million women that attended. And the power, I attended that march that day, and the power and the energy that circled Philadelphia area that day was too awesome. And that's why COINTELPRO has been creeping into our neighborhoods for years, because they know if we come together, we are a power force to be reckoned with. That's why they continue to drop the drugs in our communities, to drop the guns in the community. We don't have planes to fly from Afghanistan. We don't have that to bring the poppy and the cocaine over here. They bring it to us, and that's what they're trying to do, is it's divide and conquer. But Reverend Pinckney, because of your program, I have talked to a few people in my community, because wherever I go, I try to leave a footprint of a good impression. And I was running a girls group, Girl Talk, HIV/AIDS prevention, teaching them different things to do in life other than that, you know, sex at a young age. It's not acceptable nowadays. So a year after this program is running, my friends help sponsor it. People I work for, I have a housekeeping service, they help sponsor the program. I was then targeted. It appeared to me that all of my neighbors would drop their heads when I came down the street. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? So a very dear neighbor across the street from me, I didn't even see him. And I'm like, there's something weird. Well, then my targeting got started. So I felt that everyone around me was involved in it, because I didn't know what this was about. I didn't know how to research this. So I got a call one day from Amy Anderson. She was with Freedom. And she told me to look up the technology. So I had the opportunity to have her as my house guest last summer. And she said to me, she said, "Well, these people around here, it's not them. It's the technology." So we would study night after night, day by day. And then I realized how right she was. So the very neighbor that I thought was one of the people targeting me, I started giving him DVDs that Ken Rhodes would send to me. I would go through them, and wow, then I would give them to him. Well, in turn, he would pass them out to people in his church. So as a result of that, he called me today and asked if I would be free April 16th. The church would like to hear me speak about what is going on. So, you know, Reverend Pinckney, this is a war, but believe it or not, we are winning it.
Absolutely.
We are winning. We are winning this war, because you could not have told me even a year ago that someone would ask me to come speak about what's going on. But this is what's happening. We're winning. And we have to keep that attitude. And that's why the sisters have come together with AIPAC. We have learned stories of African women when they would fight. They shut down Chevron at the Niger Delta, because they disrupted their crops. They were making 82 cents a day. And because of them, Chevron was pumping almost 500,000 gallons a day of oil just coming out of the land, but it was destroying their crops. So they went to them and said, "Oh, you guys have to go." "Oh, no, we're not going anywhere," because they had their office, their house, everything set up in this fortress. So the women decided, okay, we're going to stop them. And it has been noted that many times when revolution started in Africa, it was started by the women.
Absolutely.
So the women went to the group. Yes, they went to the group. They went to Chevron one night to talk to them. Well, hundreds of women poured into the gate. They thought there was just two there. Hundreds of women went in, and they walked, and they chanted, and they prayed, and they meditated, and they called their ancestors. And finally, Chevron, "Whoa, you got to go. You got to leave here." So the women said, "We're going to leave, but we promise you this. We are going to come back, and we're going to come back to fight you." But the thing about African women, when they go to fight, it's do or die. So they said, "We are going to come back naked." That's when the men decided, "Oh, no, 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 no. That's my mother out there. That's going to be my grandmother out there. We can't have that happen." So they climbed aboard. They shut down Chevron and Shell. thank you for listening.
All right, that's tremendous. All right, Gloria, you hang in there. Hey, did you ever call that Patrick Miles for me?
I certainly did, and Reverend Pinckney, they make it impossible to get in touch with him if you have a cell phone, and that's all I have is a cell phone.
Yeah,
because
I want you to call back. Even if you don't get in touch with him, at least you call it back, letting him know that, you know, that we know, you know, what's going on here, and we need you to investigate it. So if you get a chance, give him a call tomorrow for me.
I certainly will.
All right now. All right. Now it's time to bring on my good friend, Sahara. Sahara, are you there?
Hi, Reverend Pinckney. I'm here. How are you today?
Great. How about yourself?
Oh, I've been in bad shape, but I'll go ahead and read because I know we're short on time. Hello, this is Sahar Shunir, founding spokesperson of Stop Nonconsensual Experiments on All World Citizens. Snowy Oak is the acronym. Snowy Oak community updates are most frequently posted to facebook.com/snowyoak, S-N-O-E-O-A-W-C. Today is April 6, 2014, and I will read four excerpts from a transcript kept online, steadfast, by the New York Times at nytimes.com of the joint hearing before the Select Committee on Intelligence and the Subcommittee on Health and Scientific Research of the Committee on Human Resources, United States Senate, 95th Congress, First Session, from August 3, 1977, entitled Project MKUltra, the CIA's Program of Research in Behavioral Modification. The first excerpt is of Senator Edward Kennedy asking some questions of Mr. John Gittinger, who was categorized as a former employee of the Central Intelligence Agency. Senator Kennedy asked, "What is your view about such funding as a professional person in terms of compromising the integrity of a university, sir?" Mr. Gittinger answered, "Well, obviously, sir, insofar as today, there is no question about it. I will have to say at the time that we were doing this, there was quite an entirely different kind of attitude. And I do know for a fact that we moved to start towards phasing out the Society for the Investigation of Human Ecology and the Human Ecology Fund for the very reason that we were beginning to recognize that it was moving into an area that this would be compromised." April 6, 2014 note, I believe the transcription is probably meant to type that this would be compromised. The second excerpt is from a little further into the questioning. Senator Kennedy asked, "Were there other foundations that were doing similar kinds of work?" Mr. Gittinger answered, "Not to my knowledge, sir." Senator Kennedy asked, "You believe?" Mr. Gittinger answered, "You mean CIA, other CIA?" Senator Kennedy said, "Right." Mr. Gittinger responded, "Well, my answer is in the sense that I know of no other CIA foundations, no. There were, of course, other foundations doing similar kinds of work in the United States." Senator Kennedy asked, "Have you heard of the Psychological Assessments Foundation?" Mr. Gittinger said, "I certainly have." Senator Kennedy asked, "What was that? What function did that have?" Mr. Gittinger replied, "Now, this was bringing us up to a different era. I believe the functions of that organization have nothing whatsoever to do with the things that are being talked about here while I was associated with it." Senator Kennedy asked, "Rather than getting into the work, it was another foundation, was it not? It was another foundation supported by the agency?" Mr. Gittinger replied, "What, the psychological assessment?" Senator Kennedy said, "Yes." Mr. Gittinger said, "No, sir, it was not." Senator Kennedy went further and asked, "It did not get any support at all from the agency?" Mr. Gittinger replied, "Oh, yes, sir, it did get support, but it was a business firm." Senator Kennedy said, "It was a business, but it got support from the agency?" Mr. Gininger responded, it got money from it, but it definitely was not in MKUltra or in any way associated with this. The third excerpt is of Senator Richard Schweiker asking a question of the same witness, John Gininger. Senator Schweiker asked, are there ways that we can ascertain this from a distance when we see a captive prisoner either go on television, in a photograph, or at a press conference? In other words, are there certain signs that you've learned to recognize from your technical background to tell when brainwashing has occurred, or is that very difficult to do? Mr. Gininger replied, it is difficult to do. I think it is possible now in terms of looking at a picture of somebody who has been in enemy hands for a long period of time. We can get some pretty good ideas of what kind of circumstances he has been under, if that is what you mean. The fourth excerpt is from the document's Appendix A, testing and use of chemical and biological agents by the intelligence community. Quote, research and development programs to find materials which could be used to alter human behavior were initiated in the late 1940s and early 1950s. These experimental programs originally included testing of drugs involving witting human subjects and culminated in tests using unwitting, non-volunteer human subjects. These tests were designed to determine the potential effects of chemical or biological agents when used operationally against individuals unaware that they had received a drug. The testing programs were considered highly sensitive by the intelligence agencies administering them. Few people even within the agencies knew of the program, and there is no evidence that either the executive branch or Congress were ever informed of them. The highly compartmented nature of these programs may be explained in part by an observation made by the CIA Inspector General that, quote, the knowledge that the agency is engaging in unethical and illicit activities would have serious repercussions in political and diplomatic circles and would be detrimental to the accomplishment of its mission, end that quote. The appendix continues to read, the research and development program, and particularly the covert testing program, resulted in massive abridgments of the rights of American citizens, sometimes with tragic consequences. The deaths of two Americans can be attributed to these programs. Other participants in the testing programs may still suffer from the residual effects. While some controlled testing of these substances might be defended, the nature of the tests, their scale, and the fact that they were continued for years after the danger of surreptitious administration of LSD to unwitting individuals was known demonstrate a fundamental disregard for the value of human life. End that excerpt. This is the end of my presentation for this week. I would like to provide some quick honorable mentions, two of them. One, Representative James Guest of the Missouri House of Representatives, now retired from politics, worked very diligently to help obtain U.S. congressional inquiry into such goings-on that appear to be currently taking place. But unfortunately, his office's efforts were met with persistent, unethical, complex, and highly organized undermining that has caused confusion and delay. In addition, my understanding is that U.S. Senator Edward Kennedy, now deceased, was also willing to move forward with modern congressional inquiry, and that to obtain such, the official support of someone at that level of politics is necessary. Therefore, an immediate goal of raising public awareness is to help obtain urgently needed congressional inquiry. My documentary video channel on YouTube is youtube.com/chinier.com. That is spelled youtube.com/CHINYERE.COM.
All right.
Largely
thank
due to largely due to the currently extreme surge of being targeted, including what appeared to be serious setbacks to my health through non-consensual and surreptitious drugging of me by some party with the means, motive, opportunity, and possibly covert contract to do so, particularly since June 2013 as well as November 2013, that have prompted me to be working on detoxifying, I have resumed posting to youtube.com/genera.com weekly, and I now look forward to presenting here weekly as well. Thank you for your ongoing supportiveness and prayers.
Thank you so much, Sahara. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Reverend.
All right. Let me bring in my good friend, Andrea Tams. Tams, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Reverend Pigney?
Great. How you doing today? Listen, your ex-husband have opened up something here. They stole a building from this guy named Barnaby and opened up some I don't know where they got it. He was working with them Sikhs, and they probably the most corrupt people that you ever want to meet. And they stole this building from this guy, and now they're supposed to be getting some kind of grant money to do it. But it's a shame, really, more than anything else. But go ahead.
You know, I was listening to your show today, and a lot of the people who were speaking, you know, I know you say you were going to give them more time. They actually do need to, you know, have more time to expose more of what's going on and what they're talking about. And when you were saying that about the sheriff's department and how they were, they're basically abusing their position of power doing terrorism tactics. I went through that in the court, even with the sheriff trying to block me from speaking to a referee that was trying to help me get an attorney that would help me represent, you know, my rights and the children's rights. And I was threatened to leave from juvenile court by the attorney general. She had lied, Attorney General Yasmin of juvenile court. And she lied on me, tried to make it seem like that I was a problem. And the sheriff had came after me right after I had removed Judge Kim Smith off of my case, who one of the judges, Heather Cotella on Channel 7 News, exposed a part of illegally taking children from parents in Michigan, in Detroit. And I had filed a complaint against the sheriff, the bailiff. I filed complaints against several of the sheriffs for what they were doing to get us on record. I've even contacted the United Nations about what I was dealing with my case. You know, I've even several FBI agents was telling me some of the things to do, the steps to take, and they were like, you done did everything that that you were supposed to do. You just haven't had anybody to help you fight this like the way it needs to be fought. And even with how they're behaving out there in Benton Harbor, yes, they're going to do this to everybody eventually. And I would say just keep a record of these people who are doing this like I've done. File complaints against them, keep the records of that, you know, what's going on to, you know, to expose what they're doing. And dealing with my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, you know, we own several properties, several homes, and he got them all out from up underneath me where I ended up receiving nothing, which is all illegal what he did. He stole the properties, you know, several properties from up underneath me because we were married. And gave them over to his friends, one of my attorneys had said, in sweetheart deals. When we went back into the court three and a half years ago to judge, I think his name is Thompson Nelson, that was a divorce court judge.
Yeah, Nelson, I know Nelson.
Yeah, he was a divorce court judge, and we were exposing in the brief that my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, committed fraud upon the court, how he gave the homes that we had and to his colleagues and put it in their name and everything. And the deed department in Detroit had told me he had brought up a property of ours right before our divorce. And she has said, she said, go retrieve your property. She says he's not supposed to be able to get away with this. So it's clear that I know he's a criminal, you know, because that's how he got our homes from up underneath me, and I ended up with nothing. Because we owned several homes. We had rental, and he hid them out and gave them over to his friends. And his cousin, Demetrius Creighton, who was actually running from the FBI, my ex-husband had told me, he had ended up telling me that how my ex-husband has a lot of businesses, properties in different states all over and hiding them, you know, hiding assets and everything. So I know how corrupt he is. He's very crooked, and even the way that he went and getting our children illegally from me. He actually kidnapped the children. And we have proof of all this. It's just we haven't had anybody to come in to, you know, help to put a stop to any of his proceedings. He's very criminal. He's extremely criminal.
Well, you know, me and him, we were really, really good friends, and he just flipped a switch on me. He went on to the other side, the Whirlpool supporters.
Oh, he did? Well, you know
yeah.
what? I've been knowing him since I was 24, and he's 3 years older than me, so he's 27. Even with our small children, I've noticed how the way he was treating them, even when they were very young. I saw something was wrong with him even then, that he wasn't right. And a lot of people know how he is. Even his best friend, who was a psychiatrist, Dr. Curtis Longs, he came out and had told me, he says, we know he's not right. You know, another one of his colleagues, Dr. Emanuel Chambers, he had even told me, he said, the doctors don't like him. We just tolerate him. We know how manipulative he is and how shrewd he is. So he's been like this really for many years. He just cover up what he does. You know, he's has his own agenda, his own mission. He, you know, get people who are criminals themselves to help him execute what he does. So, you know, he's going to continue to do it until he's brought down, you know, with how he behaves, because it's all about what's important for him, his interests, and no one else's, even though he appears to behave a certain way on the surface. Even his own cousins, they do not like him. They've even almost got into conflicts, physical altercations with him and how he treats people. And this was years ago.
Interesting. Wow, that's amazing, Adrian. That's when you think
yeah.
about it, you know, I would never think in a million years that he would flip and go to the other side on us, but he walking that tightrope down the other side of the fence. So, you know, when they storm
yeah.
the
you
beach.
You know, right now, since he knows that he's basically the sexual abuse of our children that he did to them is out. He hates that. And he's going to align himself with as many people as he can to, you know, get some type of empowerment, because he knows what's going to happen ultimately once everything goes back into court and he's get held accountable. He's committed some serious crimes, and, you know, he knows where he's going to end up at once
mm-hmm.
everything's following through.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wow. Well, listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to bring in my good friend Belinda Brown after that. So go right ahead.
Okay. The only thing that I can say is that I'm glad you told me about him, you know, taking some building from some, you know, someone out there in Benton Harbor, because that's even more, you know, information about his conduct. And the only thing that I can say is about the people who are giving their information about what's going on, to continue to do it and try to rally together and try to get something exposed even more about what's going on, because I'm not the only one going through this. And I'm listening to all these people talk, and it's really amazing how people are being treated. And, you know, it seems like nothing is going on to put a stop to it.
Absolutely. But we got to continue this fight. Whether we like it or not, we got to continue doing the things that need to be done. We got to make sure that, you know, we're focused, which is the most important thing, and do what we need to do. But let's just hang in there, take care of yourself, and, you know, whatever it is, we love you, and we want to make sure that, you know, that we do the things that need to be done to help you out. I wish you can come up here and help me fight, because I tell you, we they're getting ready to storm the beach. So we got to be prepared when we get on that beach to do the things that need to be done.
Yeah,
so,
I hear you.
Yeah, all right, you know, because I know you're a fighter, you know. And, they getting ready to storm that beach, I'm telling you. I know what they're getting ready to do, because they know people in Benton Harbor don't have that much of a fight in them. And,
that's why they wanted me out of Benton Harbor, because
yeah,
all my
absolutely.
Attorneys told me
absolutely.
They say,
you said it all.
I've never had a client like you, and I say, you know, I'm just standing up for what's right. Wrong is going on. That's it.
That's it. Say it again, young lady. All right, I got to move on, but I will talk to you soon.
All right,
now, Belinda Brown, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Pastor Pickney.
Hey, how you doing, Belinda Brown? How you feeling today? Talk to me, girl.
All right, Pastor. I am enjoying this show. You having a dynamite show, Pastor Pinckney. You know, we just, you know, all the people have so much to say and so very, very important information that people need to know about. But I'm here to tell you, Pastor Pinckney, we need you down here. And Mary was right. We, you know, I'm going to be trying to get together a donation and send it to Banco at 1040 Union. 1940 Union. That's right. I got the address. I got it written down. I'm just trying to go.
I know you used to live right down the street from me.
I'm excited about trying to get people to you know, at least donate and send some money so you can come on down here and help us out, Pastor Pinckney, because we need some help down here in Louisiana. You know, all these things that, you know, people are talking about on the show today, one of the major, major things that we're dealing with is the human trafficking down here in Louisiana. You know, people are being bought and sold right on the courthouse, in the courtrooms, you know, the judges, the DAs, the police officers, the attorneys, and all of them are in cahoots with this type of conspiracy that's been taking place here. You know, it's really sad, Pastor Pinckney, and, you know, it's sad when it's kids that are so innocent and can't, you know, defend themselves, and they don't even have a clue about what's going on, and they're being sold right before their eyes, Pastor Pinckney.
You know, that's a terrible thought, too.
Yes.
Now, you know, I read something about that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I read something about that, too, that, you know, that you had sent out, which was really tremendous. I tell you, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, tell me a little bit about your organization.
Our organization, Pastor Pinckney, we formed it about a year ago, and it's Louisiana United International, a force for justice. And the reason for it is that we're uniting and bringing people together to stand up and fight against the injustice and expose the criminal justice system, where here in Louisiana we have more people incarcerated per capita than anywhere else in the world. Our prison system is a disaster. It's a disgrace. The things that's happening in the court across the state of Louisiana, we have identified that the Sheriff's Association, the District Attorney Association, is really running everything here in the state of Louisiana, because prison is big money here. They tell our legislators what to do, you know, what laws to pass to jack people up and railroad them in the court system. So, you know, we got people that's pleading guilty to crimes that they didn't even do, because they're being threatened and badgered and forced to take a plea, okay? And yes, Pastor Pinckney, it's real. And because they're being threatened to take a plea, you know, we got the law is called the multi-bill here. You know, if you are a third offender, they can multi-bill you, okay? It's almost like double jeopardy. Once you go to court and you've been found guilty, say, for instance, of whatever, marijuana, okay, and you've been found guilty, this is your third marijuana charge, you can be facing life in prison. We got people doing 25 years to life just because they're a third offender on marijuana charges, Pastor Pinckney. It is outrageous.
Wow. Girl, that's amazing.
Outrageous.
Wow.
Yes,
I mean,
we got packed inside these godforsaken hellhole prisons and jails across the state of Louisiana. They got them packed in these prisons like sardines. And the crimes against humanity that's taking place inside of the prisons and jail is unbelievable. I'm talking people are getting beat and raped inside of these jails. You know, people are being forced to do crimes inside the jails, okay? I just had a story that where one young man was facing 30 years, okay? They said, if we let you out, okay, for a few days, you got to go find us somebody, okay? You got to go find us somebody, okay, that we can, you know, reduce your sentencing, okay? So they let the man out, erased his record and everything, so the man decided that he wasn't going to do what they asked him to do. So they went back and got him and put him back in jail and gave him 30 years past the picnic.
Wow.
These are the type of, these are the type of malicious acts that these people are practicing down here in Louisiana, and it's almost to the point where if anybody say anything or do anything about what they're doing, they go after those individuals. Okay, so that's the reason why we had to organize and mobilize people to come together, where we have, you know, over 800 members now that have joined up with us, you know, saying that they're not going to tolerate these type of malicious acts anymore, and that we're going to, you know, get rid of these people, because it's only a handful of them, Pastor Pickney. The people that are in authority, you know, they are elected officials, like mm-hmm. the DA attorney, like the sheriff, like the mayor, like the chief of police. You know, these individuals, okay, are basically running the whole state of Louisiana because they got everybody in their pockets.
Interesting. Hey, listen, Belinda, I really can't give you too much more time, but can you, you got 2 minutes to say whatever you want, and then I got to bring on my good friend Roz.
Okay, Pastor Pickney. Well, what it is that people really need to know, Pastor Pickney, is that we have to band together, and we need people like you. You know, it's ringing like a bell down here. You know, you're very powerful, you know, across this nation, because a lot of people is talking about Benton Harbor and the things that's going on. When you send me your emails, I send them out, and I get a lot of response back from them. You know, it's almost unbelievable, but it's true. So, you know, I just want you to know that, you know, as we band together across the country, you know, you come down here, we help each other. You know, I'd be glad when I get some freed up from, you know, from the things that I'm really tied down to right now, some personal things, that I can travel and go places with you, because I know you was out there in California moving and shaking. Everybody was talking about what was going on out there, Pastor Pickney.
Girl, you said it, because it was tremendous, I tell you. And I love the hospitality that they gave. You know, they treated me royally. So, you know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, when you go somewhere, they put their arms around you and really look out for you. So that's it. See, but we're going to keep, you know, we're going to keep
And they're still talking about you down there, Pastor Pickney. That's why I come, you know, and I'm still trying to get in touch with Danny Glover, because, you know, if we can get some type of national attention down here in the state of Louisiana, because right now on the top of our legislative session, they're in session for the vote that's coming up in November, it's the prison reform. And we have asked for a comprehensive investigation on all the prisons and jails here throughout the state of Louisiana, because people are being held hostage inside of these prisons. It's just totally unbelievable how a lot of people have been lost inside of the prison system since Katrina, Pastor Pickney.
Wow. You say you're having what in November?
We're going to have our vote for governor, you know, a lot of judges and a lot of bills that we have asked to put, you know, in our legislation about reforming our prison system, getting rid of the multi-bill that is locking nonviolent offenders up, giving them life in prison, you know, changing some of the laws here, whereas, you know, people can be a third-time offender, you know, and they would consider that a felony, and they build it up on them, and it's nonviolent. Like, we got a lot of kids in prison down here, a lot of kids, 17, 18, 19 years old, and
Belinda,
locked up
in
there.
We got to leave it right there. But, look, you come on earlier next week, I got you covered. So, listen, I got to let you go. You know we love you, and I got to bring on my good friend Roz, and we will be talking to
you, because I still need that date for Danny Glover to come down and do our fundraiser, and we're going to have a mass demonstration in October. I need you to be a part of that, Pastor Pickney.
I will be a part of that, okay?
Okay.
You got
my
word. Got to go.
Okay.
Roz, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm so blessed to be here. The show was absolutely incredible, fantastic. Thank you you're just a blessing from God for all of us, from our health to criminal behavior out there. We're all going through this in America. It's just unconscionable. It's disgusting. It's appalling. But united together, all of us, we are going to win with the Lord.
Absolutely, absolutely. I tell you one thing, Roz, it's amazing, you know, that, you know, the people that, you know, that want to speak, you know, I have, you know, more than 150 people with their hands up and want to say something today, which was really, you normally get maybe a couple of hundred on the board anyway, but more than 150 people had their hand. But normally I don't let people speak unless they call me. And so, you know, that's the issue. So those who out there who want to speak, you got to call me. And you can call me at 269-925-0001. Roz, it's your time. I can't take any of your time. You go right ahead. Say whatever you want.
Okay, I want to save the students. I want to save the teachers. This is going on across America. Los Angeles Unified School District, LAUSD, the second largest school district in the country, is unsafe for students, putting them into toxic chemicals, cancer, lung damage, nerve damage. The school district does not care. What happens? A teacher is dead. Charles Smith is dead. You call 213-241-1000. You speak to Dr. Deasy, the superintendent, and the board members. You want this corrected. You want them to follow the law, especially with my case. Making up medical diagnoses that don't exist will be with me for the rest of my life. I have been blessed by having my articles out there. I'm hearing from people with 14-year-old cases, 21-year-old cases. The same thing has been done to them. Judges have said the most disgusting things about them. Made up. Everybody has a psychological problem. You might have a physical injury, but they turn it into a psychological problem so they do not have to pay you. I called again our governor's office, Governor Brown, and they say I'm lying through my teeth. So I will say this again. Governor Brown is for LAUSD's policy of dead teachers saves money. If he was against this policy, he could pick up the phone and do something about it. In the 14 years that I have been calling my elected officials from the state of California and the governor's office, everybody doesn't do anything. They do nothing. It's not over them. They don't take care of LAUSD. Los Angeles Unified School District just gets the money to destroy everybody's life. That's Dr. Deasy, the board members, Dawn Watkins, the queen of delays, denials, and deaths. She killed off Charles Smith by delaying him the proper medical care. My health is deteriorating. I'm losing everything, and every time I go to court, they deny me everything, and I have a medical condition. And you know what that medical condition, I'm now a number one, and I'm glad I'm a number one, and I'm going to live up to it because I'm going after these people. They're not going to destroy the health and lives of our children. They're our future generation. They're not going to destroy their educational process by buying iPads that do not have educational programs that aren't even ready, that they had to have this. LAUSD everybody's into these kickbacks. They're into the kickbacks, these programs that aren't helping anybody. By standing together, no matter what color we are, and helping our children, our future generation, and coming together, it will become our blessing. Blessing them becomes our blessing, which is so wonderful to be somebody who is blessing somebody, not destroying somebody's life. And if you want to talk about it, you can call me at 818-631-0513. 818.
All right, Roz, repeat that again so people who didn't write it down.
Okay, 818-631-0513. I want their workers' comp stories. I'm looking for a hotshot attorney to take this on because they give us a medical diagnosis that we don't have that's with us forever. And that is against the law because if you have this Obamacare that doesn't work at all, but you now have this medical diagnosis that you don't have.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, Roz, I want you to make sure that you call that guy in Grand Rapids, Patrick Miles, for me. Did you get his number?
Okay, could you repeat it, please? So
his
I make
name
sure
is Patrick Miles, M-I-L-E-S. And I want everybody else to call this man, Patrick Miles. And when he tell you to call the FBI, no, that's his job to call the FBI. So they're going to try to spin you tomorrow. It's 616-456-2404. And you want to tell them what are you going to do about the police down in Benton Harbor, the sheriff's department, kicking in people's doors all for a signature, and what about those bodies that have came up in the lake? So, Belinda Brown, I hope you still listen. I want you to call, too. Don't forget to call. The number is 616-456-2404. And the person you want to speak with is Patrick Miles, M-I-L-E-S, Patrick Miles. So if all the people listening can make that call tomorrow and just ask them, what are you going to do about the situation in the city of Benton Harbor? And don't let them tell you you should call the FBI. If you tell you trying to call the FBI, all he's doing is spinning you and trying to shift the blame to somebody else. So, no, that's your job. So if you do that tomorrow, call him at 616-456-2404. That's Patrick Miles, M-I-L-E-S. And on that note, we have just ran out of time, Roz. We have no more time, and it's always a pleasure, Roz, to have you on the show. You're so patient, and you're so wonderful, and I want to let you know that we... So on that note, let's listen to Wake Up Everybody by Teddy Pendergrass. And I'm serious about this. Wake up, everybody. Wake up before it's too late.
Thanks, love.
Time to build a new life.